before we get actually started on our Haggadah today, there should be two of these for each table. There were places set, I'm sorry, that we didn't kind of organise just before everyone arrived, but there's a couple of Haggadahs around, and they can be shared between three people, and so that you're able to follow along. But these words of opening are not on your Haggadah. Firstly, on the front table is a full cedar plate, which is this plate here. It contains a few more elements than it is on your cedar plate, and you might like to come and have a look at that at the end. Secondly, you have a bowl of fresh water on each table, and that bowl of fresh water is on top of a towel. That will be for washing your hands during the cedar meal. Just be a ceremonial washing your hands, fingertips, and there's a towel there to dry your hands. The other bowl on the other side of the table is salt water, and that's for eating. You'll dip your piece of parsley in the salt water when it comes to that time as part of the Seder meal. You have a cup of grape juice in front of you. There'll be at least four or five occasions where you drink from that cup. So just take a sip each time. If you empty your cup, you won't have anything left to drink for the rest of the Seder meal. There's one stage, you mightn't have heard the word afikomen before, but there's one stage when the children are going to go and search for the afikomen. We'll explain that as we move through it. So I'd like each parent just to choose one child from their family. The afikomen is going to be hidden somewhere in the kitchen, and we just have too many kids, I think. So parents, if you could choose one child from your family to go and look for the afikomen. A few stages in the Haggadah, we might just leave the words of this for a little bit, but most of the words that we'll be using this morning are on there. If you could return your Haggadahs at the end, we might use these another year, and they do cost a little bit to print up. So that's all the announcements. So if you turn to page 2 of your Haggadah and we'll move through it. Introduction. Of all the holidays the world has ever celebrated, only 7 have been given by God, and all 7 were given to the nation Israel. Passover is the first of these, and its history is found in Exodus chapter 12. For more than 34 centuries, Jewish people have been celebrating Pesach. Wherever they live, wherever they go, they all gather around the Seder table to remember when God delivered their ancestors from Egypt with a strong and mighty arm. Falling in March or April, near the Christian holiday of Easter, its message is the timely story of redemption. And amongst Jewish people, Passover is going on right now, this year. Passover is among the most joyous and festive of the Jewish holidays. Special foods are prepared and served on dinnerware that is reserved exclusively for Pesach. I want you to note the very exclusive dinnerware that we've given you today. And the home is made ready for guests who will gather for the traditional Passover Seder, which begins at sundown. Obviously, we're doing it earlier in the day. They will listen to the retelling of the Jewish people's exodus from Egypt and God's miraculous deliverance through his servant Moses. An average Seder can last as long as 4 hours. I promise you it won't last that long today.
This holiday is important to Christians also, because it was at Jewish Passover that the Jewish Messiah took elements on the Seder table and instituted the Lord's Supper or communion. Believers celebrate this ordinance regularly. Yet to fully grasp its significance, we must understand the Jewish feast it originates from. The Jewish Passover symbolizes physical redemption from Egypt by the blood of a perfect lamb. The Lord's Supper reminds us of our spiritual redemption by the blood of the perfect and spotless Lamb of God who takes away our sin.
Removing the hametz. On the day before the celebration, the family cleans the house. But this is no ordinary house cleaning. It is conducted with a feather and a spoon and is specifically designed to remove every trace of hametz or leaven, that is yeast products, from the house. The process begins on the evening of Passover when the man of the house gathers his family around him, washes his hands, and recites the following blessing.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by your commandments and commanded us to remove the leaven.
With a lit wax candle, a wooden spoon and a feather, the father guides the search as the family moves from room to room in search of leaven. Every nook and cranny is swept clean and the crumbs are whisked into the spoon with the feather. Usually a little leaven is left on the windowsills and the corners to ensure the children will find some. The crumbs and any leftovers of previous leaven meals are wrapped up with the wooden spoon and burned while the following prayer is recited.
All manner of leaven which is in my possession, that which I have seen as well as that which I have not seen, that which I have removed as well as that which I have not removed, is hereby annulled and accounted as the dust of the earth. The goal is for Jewish families to separate themselves from all leaven, which the rabbis say symbolizes the evil in men's hearts. For the next 8 days, Jewish people will enjoy a diet that is totally without leaven.
Preparing for the Seder. Although the holiday is 8 days long, the ritual observance is held on the first two nights and is called a Seder, derived from the Hebrew word meaning order. A special Seder plate holds parsley, a shank bone of a lamb, bitter herbs, a roasted or hard-boiled egg, a special apple nut mixture called haraset, and some kind of a root, usually a potato or a horseradish root. On the table also is the unity, or the ofikomen bag. And no matter how crowded the table may seem, an extra place is always set for Elijah the prophet. At each place is a Haggadah, the book used during the Seder to recount the history of Jehovah's great redemption of the Jewish people.
Lighting the candles. The lady of the house lights the candles, and when she has done that, she says a prayer.
Only a woman can kindle the festival lights. The rabbis have long taught that without the woman to bring the light, the story of redemption cannot begin. So it was, too, that through a Jewish woman, God gave us the one who is the true light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12, and Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, and John chapter 1 verses 4 to 10.
We're now going to read Exodus chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you, you might like to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. I will read to you from Exodus chapter 12 and verses 1 through 14. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth of this month every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you as a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance.
The first cup, the cup of sanctification. Prayer of sanctification. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who selected us from among all people and exalted us among all nations, and did sanctify us with his commandments. And you, O Lord our God, have given us Sabbath days for rest and festival days for joy, the Sabbath and the day of this feast of the unleavened bread, the time of our deliverance in love, in remembrance of the departure from Egypt. For you have selected us and sanctified us from among all nations, and caused us to inherit your holy Sabbath and festival days in love and favour. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hallowed the Sabbath and Israel and the festival days.
The four cups are based on five I wills, found in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The first cup, the cup of sanctification, comes from Exodus 6, 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God was separating Israel from Egypt to be a special treasure to himself. Similarly, God separates us Christians from the world to be his holy people. We will all sip together of the cup.
We wash our hands now without the customary benediction. Before the story of redemption can be told, all must wash their hands to symbolize that they too should be sanctified before a holy God.
Carpus or parsley. If you would take the parsley on your Seder plate and distribute a piece of parsley to each person, they can dip it in the salt water. Make sure it's not in the hand washing water. Dip it in the salt water, and then we'll say together the blessing. Don't eat just yet. Hold your piece of parsley. Okay, just hold your parsley for now. We'll say the blessing together. Are we all ready? Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruits of the earth. We eat the carcass.
Carpas, or parsley, is a reminder of the hyssop their ancestors used to apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels of their homes in Egypt. That's from Exodus 12:22. The salt water symbolizes the tears shed while the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians. We should note that sin enslaves and burdens us and should be a grief to us all. Hyssop also played an important role in the New Testament. In John 19:29, it's stated that while Jesus was on the cross, he was offered hyssop dipped in vinegar.
Well, for this next part, I will stand so you can see what I'm doing. This bag is called a mezzotosh. It has three compartments, and in each compartment is a piece of mezzo, like the piece of bread that is on your table. I now take the piece of bread from the middle compartment. And I break it. And I wrap it. That part that is broken is called the aphikomen, and the other part I return back to the middle section of the matzotosh. This portion of the matzo, oh sorry, that's your part, mate.
This portion of the matzo is called the aphikomen. After dinner tonight, we shall pass it amongst us and eat it together. I'm now going to take and hide the aphikomen.
No kids looking.
Since the cedar cannot continue until the aphikomen is found, the child who finds it receives a nice reward for its return. In this wonderful holiday of redemption, the broken middle mezzotosh must be redeemed from the hands of the children.
Behold the mezzotosh, the symbol of affliction and poverty, which our ancestors ate as slaves in the land of Egypt. Tonight we remember the bitter hardships they suffered and the cruelty they endured. The mezzotosh reminds Christians of the suffering of Christ, his stripes. You notice each piece of mezzotosh is striped and pierced. So it reminds us of his body that was striped and pierced. The four questions. Often it's the youngest child in the Jewish family that asks this question, but I've asked Adrian to ask the question today.
We answer the questions. Why? The question was, why is this night different from all other nights? And we answer the questions. This night is very different from all other nights, because on this night, we celebrate one of the most important events in the history of our people. They're going forth in triumph from servitude to freedom. Why do we eat only matzah tonight? When Pharaoh let our ancestors go from Egypt, they fled in great haste. We eat bitter herbs on Passover night to remind us that our ancestors were slaves in Egypt and that their lives were very bitter.
We dip the parsley in salt water to remind us that life blooms again in springtime. We dip the maror, or the bitter herbs, in the sweet haroset as a sign of hope. Our forefathers were able to withstand the bitterness of their slavery because it was sweetened by the hope of freedom. Why do we recline at the table? In ancient days, only free men could recline at the table. Since our forefathers became free on this night, we recline.
The narrative. We retell the story of redemption from Egypt. Once we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord, our God, delivered us with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. If God had not done so, we, our children, and our children's children might still be slaves. Thus we must never neglect to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. The more we tell it, the more we will appreciate the meaning of our freedom. The four kinds of children. The exciting story of the Exodus is told and retold from generation to generation. There are four types of children. The first child is the wise child. He loves Passover and eagerly anticipates celebrating it. He loves the things of God.
The second child. Another child is the wicked child. He is scornful. He does not feel part of the celebration. He despises the things of God.
The third kind of child is the simple one. He is naive, innocent, and shy. He does not understand the things of God.
The fourth child does not even realize that something unusual is happening. He ignores the things of God.
In time, Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph. He feared the multitude of Israelites and enslaved them. Many years earlier, God had warned Abraham this would happen. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a sojourner in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Genesis 15, verse 13.
But God also promised Abraham that his descendants would later go free. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. That's Genesis 15, 14. God's faithfulness has always been a source of strength to our people. In every generation, men have risen up to destroy us, but God delivers us from their hands.
How Israel suffered in Egypt. The new king said to his advisers, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when war occurs, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So go get them up out of the land of Egypt." And that's from Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So Pharaoh pressed them into hard labor and set taskmasters over them to crush them with heavy loads.
So the Lord appeared to Moses in a bush that burned, but was not consumed. God told him, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt."
Reciting the plagues. So Moses returned to Egypt. He and his brother Aaron confronted Pharaoh and demanded he let God's people go. But Pharaoh's heart was hard and defiant, and he scorned the messengers of the Lord. So the Lord brought 10 plagues.
With each plague, God executed judgment on Pharaoh and on the false gods of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile, so God turned the Nile to blood. They worshipped frogs, so he inundated them with frogs. With the final plague, Jehovah, the God of Israel, demonstrated his divine omnipotence and sovereignty over Pharaoh, who himself was considered a god, by killing Pharaoh's firstborn son. Now for each plague spoken, dip the little finger into the cup and place a drop of wine into a plate. So we're going to recite these together. And the first one will be blood, frogs, lice and flies. So let's do that together as we dip our little finger into a cup. Blood, frogs, lice, flies. And the second. Pestilence, boils, hail. Third line. Locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn.
The Exodus reminds us that someday another emancipation will come when God will destroy the wicked of the earth and he alone will rule over all men. Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness."
Dang it. I'll recite the verses for everyone, and afterwards everyone will repeat the refrain, "Dayenu," which means, "For that alone we would have been satisfied." How many wonderful deeds did God perform for us? Had he brought us out together and not split the sea for us? Dayenu. Had he split the sea for us and not brought us through the dry shod?
Dayenu.
Had he brought us through dry shod and not sustained us in the wilderness for 40 years?
Dayenu.
Had he sustained us in the wilderness for 40 years and not fed us with manna?
Dayenu.
Had he fed us with manna and not given us the Sabbath?
Dayenu.
Had he brought us to Mount Sinai and not given us the Torah?
Dayenu.
Had he given us the Torah and not brought us into the land of Israel?
Dayenu.
How much more we should be grateful to God for all the wonderful deeds he has performed for us. He has brought us out of Egypt and split the Red Sea for us and brought us through dry shod, sustained us in the wilderness for 40 years and fed us.
Now we come to the part on the bottom of page 9, the three symbols of Pesach. Although many important symbols grace the Passover cedar table, the three most significant are 1, the Zerah, 2, the Matzos, and 3, the Maror.
Zerah. The Zerah is a shank bone of a lamb. It symbolizes the Passover lambs sacrificed at the temple, as well as the lambs slain in Egypt to protect the Israelites from the plague of death. Today, only a bone remains, because without the temple, the sacrifice cannot be made.
The Passover lamb, which our ancestors ate in the days of the Holy Temple, reminded us that the Most Holy passed over the Father's houses in Egypt. It was the Lord's Passover because he passed over the homes of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our lives.
The Lamb clearly speaks of redemption. Death was inescapable that night in Egypt. Either the firstborn males of men and beasts died or the Lamb died in their place. So too we read that Jesus taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Jesus died for our sins, so we can be freed from bondage to sin and from the penalty of spiritual death. He was our substitute.
Pesach is not just a story of matzah and slavery. It is also the story of the lamb, the most important element of Pesach. God required that the lamb slain on that night be perfect, without spot, without blemish, and its blood had to be shed and applied, or none of the Israelites would have been saved.
We may not have been slaves in Egypt, but each one of us was a slave to sin, and there is no way this kind of slave can free himself. Only God can show us the way. The Lord himself came to become the sacrificial lamb for you and for me. The Bible says,
"For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. More than 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5.
Jesus shed his blood for us so we can be free. If we receive the Lord as our personal Saviour, we are free from slavery to sin and can say, "Once we were slaves, but now we're free." The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." John 8:36. Unless we receive him, we are still in bondage.
Now the matzos. The matzos remind us of the haste with which the Jewish people left Egypt. Our ancestors did not have time to let the dough rise because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they made any provisions for themselves. In the Bible, unleavened bread speaks of sanctification. Leaven usually speaks of sin. The Jewish people were commanded to eat unleavened bread for 8 days to symbolize their separation from the world unto God.
The bitter herbs. Looks like a 40-coloured cream. We eat bitter herbs because the Egyptians embittered our ancestors' lives with cruel bondage. They forced them to make mortar and bricks and to labour mercilessly. The bitter herbs speak of bitter suffering. People have an amazing ability to look at the past and forget the pain. God did not want them to forget that they were in bitter bondage and cried out to him for deliverance. So he commanded them to eat bitter herbs such as horseradish to remember their affliction.
The Hallel. In every generation, every Jew should feel as though he himself made the journey from Egypt. The Torah says, "And thou shalt show thy son in the day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." Exodus chapter 13 and verse 8. Therefore, we should praise him and give thanks to him who did these marvelous miracles for our fathers and for us.
If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 113, or just listen. We'll be reading both Psalms 113 and 114. And as Israel looked back on their exodus from Egypt, we look back on the exodus of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back on his blood that was shed for us. And I want you to, as you think about that, praise God in your hearts for what God has done for us. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled, Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back, O mountains, that you skipped like rams, O little hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Now we come to the second cup. And this is the cup of praise. So So we lift the cup of wine together and we say the following. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has redeemed us and our ancestors from Egypt and has allowed us to enjoy this night of Passover and to eat together the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who created the fruit of the vine.
The second cup of wine originates from the second I will of Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, which says, and I will rid you out of their bondage. With this cup of praise, we praise the Lord for removing Israel from the bondage of Egypt.
Preparing the meal, washing of hands. Okay, so this time we're going to wash our hands again, and we'll then say the blessing together. So if you pass the water and the towel around your table. This time we say the blessing together on your sheet. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to wash our hands.
So after the washing of the hands, preparation, we actually now have the hamotzi, which is blessing over the matzah. And we're going to break a piece of the uppermost matzah and the remaining middle piece of matzah, and distribute to each participant.
So if the leader of each table or someone on each table could break your piece of matzah. You'll need more matzah later on, so just a small token piece for each person. Hold your matzo, because David will do the blessing before you eat.
Crackling. Let's say the blessing together. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to eat unleavened bread. We all eat together.
Maror, or bitter herbs, on your plate there in front of you, that's actually the horseradish, the creamy looking mixture. What I want each leader of the table to do, Jono perhaps here, there should be six spoons. You take a spoon, you take some of the haraset. The haraset is that lumpy looking mixture. It's made of apple and nuts and cinnamon and a bit of horseradish for each person. So you take a spoon, dip it in the haraset, in the horseradish, and pass it to each person. And we need to pass around another bit of matzo, because you're going to put that that bit of haraset and horseradish onto your matzo. The The horseradish is meant to be very bitter, so you might want to just keep it a minimum to children. Actually, I've tried this, and it's not too bitter at all, unfortunately, because it's meant to bring tears to your eyes. So on your spoon, you have your horseradish and Paracet, and you put that on your little piece of matzo. Enjoy. I should have got you to say the blessing first, but we'll say the blessing after together. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to eat bitter herbs.
Betzar, which is a roasted egg. The Betzar was added by early Hebrew Christians to symbolise Messiah's resurrection from the dead. We would read those passages in Psalm 16:10, Isaiah 53:10, and 1 Corinthians 15:1 to 22.
So then the Passover meal would normally be served if we were doing this as a Jewish family in our home, and it would be a feast like a Christmas meal or for the Americans, a Thanksgiving meal, a big feast. But we're not giving you that today. We're just doing the symbolic part.
The search for the Afikomen. After the meal, the children eagerly begin to search for the hidden Afikomen. Without this broken piece of the middle matzo, the seder cannot continue. After it is found, the leader redeems it from the hand of one who has found it, usually giving the child a prize. The Afikomen is unwrapped and broken into pieces so all can have a portion. All must partake. According to the rabbis, this piece of matzo takes the place of the Passover lamb, which all should have eaten, all would have eaten.
Okay, if you're the child chosen from your family, would you go to the kitchen and see if you can find the Afikomen that's been hidden? Wow, you're going to have to be fast. Go, guys, go. Max obviously hit it well. A lot of banging and crashing.
Oh, well done.
Okay, I redeem the matzo with a little prize. Okay, as Jono read, I'm now going to break this piece of matzo because this is the part of the matzo that the Lord used in instituting the Lord's table. From this part of the Seder meal onwards is the part that they used, the part that the Lord instituted the Lord's table. So I'm going to depart a little bit from the Haggadah and introduce the Lord's table at this point. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So whilst everyone has been taking part in the Seder meal, I'm just asking those who would normally take part in the Lord's table to take part for the bread and for the next cup. I'll explain that as we go. So just as we start, we might bow our heads and thank the Lord Jesus, just quietly where you sit, for dying for you. Check if there's anything in your heart between you and him, and prepare yourself to receive the Lord's table. Amen. Well, we're going to sing song 275, Give Me a Sight, O Saviour. Song 275. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 before the Lord's table, and the other two verses after the Lord's table.
Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in. To thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Was it the nails, O Savior, that bound thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love for me. To take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin.
I'll ask Max to give thanks for the bread.
Oh, Father, we do thank you as we, on this special day of the year, remember Calvary and our Saviour's death there on the cross. We thank you for our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who was slain for us. We think of that broken body following the torture of the road to Calvary. We think of that body that was hanging there on the cross, those hands, feet, side pierced, oh Lord, and we recognize that it was for us that he died. We thank you, our Father, for your grace, your mercy towards us, and for the one who died there in our place. We pray that as we partake of this bread together this morning, that we might be freshly overwhelmed with that wondrous love, that our hearts might be freshly given over to you who has done so much for us. Bless us, we pray, as we partake together and think on these things. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Now Max is going to distribute the bread. It needs to be this matzo because this is the aphikomen that was found. It was the second part from the unity bag, and it was the part that was broken, buried, and brought back. Very symbolic. Okay, so if you would normally take part in the Lord's table, feel free to take some of the aphikomen. Keep your piece of bread and we'll eat together. Following along on your Haggadah, interestingly, the activity following involving the Afikoman strikingly resembles what happened to the Lord. Number one, the Afikoman is always the middle piece of matzoh in the unity bag, as the Son of God is the second person of the triune Godhead. Number two, the middle piece is broken, wrapped, hidden away, then brought forth. Jesus was broken for us on the cross, wrapped in grave clothes, hidden in a garden tomb in Jerusalem, and brought forth in resurrection. Three, the rabbis say the Afikoman replaces the Passover lamb, which everyone had to eat. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us in 1 Corinthians 5. After and for 2,000 years, he has been presented to Jew and Gentile alike as the one who will give eternal life to everyone who will receive him individually by faith. So Christ, our Passover, is also Christ, our Afikoman. Afikoman is the only Greek word in the entire Seder and means I came or he came. It too probably was added by first century Hebrew Christians when Greek was the official worldwide language. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is after the meal. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's gladly eat together. The third cup, the cup of redemption. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine." I'll ask Jono to give thanks for the cup.
Lord, I was reminded of what you did on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. This week when I shot myself in the finger with a nail gun, I felt the pain, and all I wanted to do was get the nail out. And I thought how you chose beforehand to go and experience that pain, to hang there for hours, and in that pain, you thought love. You cared for your family, and you cared for each one of us. You gave your life that each one of us could be redeemed. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Following along on your Haggadah, the cup of redemption taken after the meal originates with the promise of Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." This cup directly follows the eating of the Afikoman and corresponds to the cup the Lord used when he instituted the Lord's Supper. For the Bible says in Matthew 26:26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of many.'" If you are able to take of the bread, you can now take the cup, and we drink the second part of the Lord's table. We'll conclude the Lord's table with singing the last two verses of hymn of Song 275.
Die. A chariot of fire appeared and gloriously carried him to heaven by a whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:11. It also says he will return. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. From Malachi 4:5.
According to tradition, Elijah will herald the coming of the Messiah. So every year, at every Seder table around the world, a place is set for the prophet in the hopes that he will come. At this point in the service, one of the children will run to open the door and look for Elijah's coming. Is he there? No. We're going to join in and sing Hebenu Shalom Alechem. Now, we're going to sing it in the Hebrew language. There it is. There's not much to it in terms of the words. The words mean... You take us, please.
We bring peace to you.
Times. Do you want to play it first? Hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alekem. Nu shalom alekem. Evenu shalom alekem. Evenu shalom alekem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alekem.
We were singing, "We bring peace to you." The fourth cup of wine is the cup of acceptance. We'll all say together the next four lines, short lines there, "Blessed art thou." Let's stay together. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine.
Let's drink the fourth cup.
This is the cup of acceptance or anticipation. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, who bringeth you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. The concept of acceptance comes from this section. I will take you to me for a people, indicating a time will come when God and Israel will be completely reconciled to each other. Israel will be his people, and he will be their God.
The Hebrew scriptures say, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son," Zechariah. And so wrote the Apostle Paul, "All Israel shall be saved," Romans 11 and verse 26.
Now in our Bibles, we'll be reading that Psalm 118. Have a Bible, Psalm 118 from verses 21 to 26. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
Now we'll turn to Psalm 126. And when I've read this psalm through, can we all just recite together the four words that follow on your program next year in Jerusalem? When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who continually go forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with them." Next year in Jerusalem.
And we'll close off today with singing "The Trees of the Field." This is a song that relates to the time when the Lord saves Israel and she will be with him. And it's a time of rejoicing, and that's the way we end this morning, with rejoicing at what God's going to do for us in the future because of what Jesus did for us on the cross.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. Yeah. there'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, you have accomplished great things for us. Your redemption is a powerful redemption that continues throughout all eternity. We will have joy in your presence forevermore. We delight in being yours. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, rising again to give us new life, and coming again to take us to be with you forever. In Jesus' name we praise. Amen.